The Apple Watch went on sale today, mostly in big city fashion boutiques. More than 1 million pre-orders have also been placed online, according to analysts. And this led NPR's Laura Seidel to ask, what happens to traditional watch sales when people start wearing computers on their wrists?
Shreve & Company is a jewelry shop in downtown San Francisco that sells high-end watches like Rolex and Patek Philippe.
I'm curious if you are at all worried about smartwatches taking business away.
No.
This confident-sounding man is the store's general manager, Glenn Ross. Ross says people aren't buying these watches to tell time.
I think if it was going to have happened, it would already have happened because the cell phones would have already have damaged the fine watchmaking industry.
But it hasn't at all. Globally, Swiss watch sales were up about 2% between 2013 and 2014. And in San Francisco, with all the newly minted tech millionaires, Ross's business is booming.
It's something that may have been coveted for years and years, and I've always wanted to, when I found myself at the level of sort of success financially, that I'm able to afford to buy a Rolex or an IWC or a Panerai.
Or a Vacheron Constantine, a Lange and Zona. Some of the watches in this shop have price tags in the several hundred thousand dollar range. That makes Apple's high-end watch edition, which can go up to $17,000, look cheap. Interest in high-end Swiss watches is sustaining Ariel Adams. He founded a website focused on the industry called A Blog to Watch. Adams says the Swiss have also done a great job advertising to emerging markets where there's new money, like China.
It really fit in to how the Chinese like to portray their own status and something that they very much enjoyed. So you had this wonderful accumulation of factors that came together that made China so ripe for luxury watch buying.
And while this has changed somewhat in China, Adams thinks the Swiss will find other wealth to tap.
The attraction of a traditional Swiss watch is the love that has been put in it. It's the art. It's the passion.
This is Jean-Claude Beaver, a man many say is partially responsible for the rebirth of the luxury Swiss watch industry. He's the head of the LVMH watch division, which includes Tag Heuer, Zenith, and Hublot. To say he's passionate about Swiss watches might be an understatement.
To buy eternity in a box and to pay, I say anything now, $10,000 for eternity, that's not so expensive because in 1,000 years, the watch will work, which means you're going to pay $10 per year for 1,000 years.
Whereas a smartwatch, which is a computer on the wrist, will be obsolete like your laptop or your phone. Though Beaver isn't taking his chances, his Tag Heuer brand is releasing its own smartwatch in October with help from Intel and Google. And this isn't the first time the Swiss watch industry, which goes back centuries, has faced a challenge. In recent history, the Japanese watchmaker Seiko released the world's first quartz watch in 1969. It was cheaper than Swiss watches and kept better time. Michael Clarizo is the author of two books on watches.
During the 70s, we saw a huge decrease in employment in the Swiss watch industry, and we saw a lot of brands close.
What eventually brought the industry back was the introduction of the fashionable Swatch by a Swiss entrepreneur named Nicholas Hayek. It was more expensive than a Japanese watch, but cheaper than a high-end Swiss watch.
What Hayek knew was that people would pay more for anything that said Swiss made, because Swiss made means quality.
And the Swiss are counting on the same reputation to get them through the arrival of the smartwatch. Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.